Tokyo, change forward one. Review.
I'm not doing this with you, no. This is stupid. Hello, everyone. We're doing Gatchaman today.
It's Getter Robo.
Gatchaman.
Burke, you're going to confuse people. It's Getter Robo. We could do Gatchaman at some point, but...
Why?
Because the 70s/80s are fun.
Yes, but we've seen so much of it.
Don't worry, Burke. Mecha Month is almost over, and next time we're doing a show that isn't from the 70s/80s.
I don't believe you.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. So yes, welcome to the 5-Point Podcast. I'm Bobcat. Which is dinosaur ease for Burkeon.
Hey.
And this week we're looking at the giant robot show Getter Robo.
Getter Robo G! Okay, not actually G. G's a different thing.
Yes. There have been several of them. This is just Getter Robo. Original. Or classic. So here at the 5-Point Podcast, we look at a different anime every week, and we analyze it based on 5 different characteristics. Those characteristics are... First impressions. You're just trying to mess me up. First impressions. Story. Characters. Stop that. Dang it, I had it. I've actually been getting it right the last few weeks, and now you made me...
I cannot allow you to get it right. I refuse.
Number 4 is presentation, which is everything that isn't about writing, and then final thoughts. Your attempts to sabotage me have been for naught.
I sabotage you for a minute, so I don't care. Yes, all the 5 points, blah blah blah. If you don't know this by now, I don't know why you're listening to us. Unless you're a new listener, in which case, why are you here? Flee. Flee now. It's only going to get more pointless from here.
Wow, Burke, you have an awfully jaundiced view of things.
Well, do you blame me?
Yes, I do.
That's because you're in a good mood. And why is that? Well, let's get to first impressions.
Yes, first impressions. Burke, what did you think coming into this?
I've seen the design a few times. Well, I've seen a design. The main robot's design a few times. Never really attached it to anything. I just knew it was going to be another 70s anime, so I was expecting more limited animation, and won't lie, I wasn't exactly let down, but then again, it also surprised me in a few ways. We'll get to that later.
Right, so you were coming into this expecting something like Goline.
More or less.
I actually watched it a few years back and thought, wow, this show is made specifically for my inner child. And that's for reasons that we'll get into in point 2, story.
You're getting better at your segues. Stop that.
So, first off, it was based on a manga by Gō Nōgai, who is sort of the Stan Lee of Japan. He did a lot of different manga and helped create a lot of anime that helped define anime as a genre in the 60s and 70s and a little bit beyond.
Yeah, so I will note, because I am a dick, quite frankly... Yeah, I have to disagree with him being labeled as THE Stan Lee. There are other visionaries that also can claim that title.
But were they specifically involved in comics?
Yes, they were.
Okay, then.
I've told you this.
I missed the fact that they were involved in comics. He started talking Kamen Rider, and I assumed he was involved in the live-action stuff.
He also wrote the comics of all of his TV heroes.
Okay, then.
All of them!
Okay, fine. Jeez, I'm sorry.
You are wrong, and you should feel bad for being wrong!
Anyway, this aired from 1974 to 1975, which means that it now has a distinction of being the oldest anime we've looked at.
Until we get to Super Robot Red Baron, in which case you will be hearing me squee. Fear that day, people. It will one day come.
Or if we go crazy and decide to do Alakazam the Great. Request it, then we have to do it. It'll make Burke do... What's the opposite of a squee? Burke, what's the opposite of a squee?
Are you setting your head on fire with my hate?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So, this is a giant robot show from the guy who helped create the giant robot anime, as we know it today. This is the first one to ever feature 3 robots that combined together into different forms.
In anime, anyways.
In anime, yeah. We start off in what is admittedly a very surreal situation. It doesn't seem like it should be so surreal because it just starts off at some high school. And yet it is surreal. Because there is so much... We'll get into it more in character stuff, but it's like... It is some of the most extreme stereotyping I've ever seen.
We have the cool dude, we have the leader dude, and we have the fat comedy relief guy?
Yeah. So we're introduced to, in the order that Burke said, Ryo, Hayato, and Musashi. One thing I'll note about Hayato right now is that in those first few minutes, he comes off as such a dick.
I honestly was surprised when he wasn't the villain until we saw the villains.
Yeah. So, all three of them seem to have a crush on the same girl, Michiru, whose father, Professor Saotome, is working on the Getter robots, which are designed to help explore space.
Getter Robo, go!
Exactly. So, okay, so this seems fairly typical so far for this type of show. We have our three heroes. We have the robot set up. You know, nothing too out of left field so far.
And then there are dinosaurs that know super science that live at the Earth's core.
Yes. Their enemies are the Dinosaur Empire, a race of super advanced dinosaur men, they look more like pterodactyl men for the most part, who live at the center of the Earth.
The leader is more of a cobra man.
And they make giant cyborg dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And their goal is to wipe out humanity and reestablish the rule of reptiles.
If you couldn't tell, this was made in the 70s.
Or it was made to appeal specifically to six-year-olds, because it has everything so far that a six-year-old would want from a show like this.
Honestly, I could buy the six-year-old thing. Especially given what happens later. So, the dinosaur people hate the human people for being human people.
They're just racists.
Yeah, pretty much. And they send their giant cyborg dinosaur monster slave things to go tear up crap.
Right. Now, they're worried about Professor Saotome's dinosaur. They're worried about Professor Saotome's cyborg named Getter Robo.
He's not a cyborg! He's a robot! Good lord!
Right. My bad. Yes, I just said cyborg so many times in a row.
Cyborg!
So he basically has invented magic, more or less.
Pretty much.
Because he has the three spaceship-looking things that, depending on what order they stack each other or into each other, they turn into three completely different robots.
Yes. And by turn into, we mean shapeshift. Like, they just limbs and heads just pop out of nowhere.
Right.
It gains mass more than Megatron and Transformers.
And Megatron was a gun.
Yeah. No rhyme or reason, they just sort of connect, and then they just lob out and become a robot.
Now, to establish their street cred, in their first attack on humanity, to try and get rid of the Getter machine, which they're worried about because it has Getter rays, which they figure are a threat to them.
For some reason.
Yeah, they completely demolish the prototype version that was running around, and kill the three pilots in there.
Lots of people die! For kids!
For kids.
For kids.
And so the Mechasaurus is continuing his attack, and Michiru, the daughter of Professor Saotome, proceeds to say, "Okay, I know I just have my one spaceship that isn't nearly as powerful as the robot they just destroyed, but I'll hold them off as long as I can."
And honestly, despite the fact that she's really not all that great, and, you know, the chick, she does it! She holds it all for, what, an hour?
It must be, because Ryo, who had gone up to watch the test until things went all dinosaur-y, says, "Okay, I'm going to go get help." And so, of course, he picks up Hayato and Musashi.
For some reason, we don't... Hayato, I can kind of understand. He was shown to be stuff. We'll get into that later. But why did he pick Musashi?
Yeah, the list of people I'd picked to be a mecha pilot before Musashi is pretty dang long. I'd still rather have him than Shinji Ikari. And more than the guy from last week.
Shinji might do some good. He just needs some training. But, moving on.
So the three of them are each assigned one of the backup spaceship sections.
Well, actually, I think what they said was they weren't the backups, they were the real deal.
Let me rephrase that. So this is a confusing situation where the real pilots died in the backup machine, and the backup pilots are now piloting the real machine.
Yeah. Only they're not so much the backup pilots as three random idiots who just happen to be standing around. That's literally the case in one situation.
Yes.
Where did he even get a katana from?
I don't know. We'll talk about this a little bit more in character, but he seems to love... Musashi seems to love old Japanese-y style stuff.
Anyways, so they get the three pilots together, and, well, frankly, Musashi is,
He almost gets them killed. They do just fine against the first robot. Then three others show up.
Which is honestly impressive to me, and I will know... Well, no, I'll cover this more in presentation.
Well, what I'll say is that how many of these sort of formulaic villains send out a Monster Week episodes or episode shows have you ever seen where the villain said, one didn't work, okay, send in three others?
Do you want me to actually count them?
Okay, let me rephrase that. It isn't particularly common.
No, it's not. It's not particularly common, but it does happen sort of often, kind of. Sometimes it's just special episodes, sometimes it's special shows.
So, Musashi was just, like, desperately afraid of, well...
Reptiles.
The subtitles we were reading seemed like they were a fan sub.
A little bit.
And so sometimes he said, I'm afraid of dinosaurs, just seeing one makes me seize up, which made me wonder, how often does that happen to him?
Yeah.
How often are you just wandering the streets, ah, dinosaur!
Yeah. There's also another... Well, no. We cover this in presentation. But there is one very odd constant mistake that I will address.
Okay.
Before we get to that, though, they fight the other dinosaur cyborgs. They're kind of holding their own. And then Musashi just gets frightened and Getter Robo's legs run off.
Just decouple from the upper part of it, and he runs off with... I guess he ran off with Hayato's, too.
I guess? I don't know how this robot connects, okay? I don't understand.
I'm pretty sure he had Hayato section 2.
I don't know.
And so they get completely defeated.
Yeah.
And so there's talk of replacing Musashi, and they have to treat him for his phobia.
Yeah, then he ends up just refusing to leave the pilot seat because he has a boner for the chick, and... they form together, they take on the three monster cyborg dinosaurs.
You made the mistake too.
Technically they're robots. They're robot dinosaur men. Monsters.
Right. So the day is saved.
Yes, though I will note they take care of them specifically by exploiting each of the three forms. Of which, honestly, only the first one should ever be seen by the eyes of man. The other two are sinfully ugly.
Yeah. Ryo's form is Getter One, which is kind of a cool bat-eared superhero, more or less, with an axe.
Yeah. Tomahawk!
Oh, man, you know, I love called attack names in shows like this. Getter Tomahawk!
You have to add the echo. You have to add the echo, or otherwise it just doesn't. Tomahawk!
So then we have Hayato's, which proves that giant robots with drills were a thing before, what's the name of it?
Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, which proves they were a thing before Gurren Lagann came along.
Amusingly enough, Gurren Lagann's creator stated that Getter Robo was in fact the inspiration for Gurren Lagann.
That would make so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Then there's Musashi's form, which is a tubby little robot man with tank treads for legs.
The other two are just so lame looking. Like the first one, it's okay. It's not one of my personal favorite designs. It's a little ugly, but it works. You could throw it in with other super robots. It'd blend in. Dear God, are the other two just? Have good designs.
Yeah, to be fair, they weren't necessarily designed for aesthetics. They were designed for the functionality in the deep of space.
You can't tell me this show wasn't made to sell toys.
Okay, that's a good point. In-universe, it makes sense. Out-universe, well, the fact that it's been revived so many times proves that it can sell toys, but I suspect most of them are of Getter 1.
I would assume so.
So the last episode that we watched...
Episode 3,
because the first two episodes were a two-parter that ended on a cliffhanger, which surprised me the first time I watched it, and this time when I watched it again. This one, they attack with rainbows. No, seriously.
Yeah.
The villains paint the city so that their seashell-ish looking monster can attack them in a color-coded order or something. I wasn't quite clear on it.
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that there's a lot of pink lasers and rainbows in this episode.
Yes. And so this time it's Rio's turn to have a major phobia.
Heights!
And much like in episode 2, where they locked Musashi in with a bunch of frogs and snakes to get him over his phobia of reptiles, they locked Rio in a room with a bunch of heights.
Yeah, honestly, I'm really afraid of what's going to happen if someone is afraid of dying.
Okay, there are so many ways to fill a room with death.
Here, you have to play Russian roulette against yourself.
Wait, what? Don't worry. Oh, a man can do it.
Madball could do it. But that's why we're referencing an anime we're not going to review.
Yeah, we are never reviewing Madball 34. Check out the Sage's review of it over at That Guy with the Glasses. Bennett the Sage, that is.
Or if you want to watch a Let's Watch of it, I'll have Bobcat post a link in the comment section.
Sure, I'll link all these Madball 34 things.
Link them all! Come on! Link all the things.
So, that's pretty much it for the plot.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a Monster of the Week show.
Yeah.
Not much else to it besides that.
Ahem.
Do you have a segue you want to do?
Yes. Guitar! Robo! Change! Point 3! Caritas!
I'm sure when I did it, it was lame.
I did it better.
So, says you. Anyway, characters.
Should we talk about the manliest and most awesome character of them all? The girl?
Sure, let's start with Michiru.
Okay, she, by all appearances, is just the girl. By all appearances.
Right, because, she's the daughter of the scientist, and she pilots the dinky little air thing the dinky little spaceship that it's armed, but there's no evidence of this at first. She's just watching, and the boys all pine after her in their own way.
Yeah. And, you know, she wears pink, and she's just the pretty one. And, no, she's probably got the biggest pair of them all.
Like we said, first episode, giant dinosaurs are attacking my father's base. Don't worry, Dad. I'll hold them off. No, you have to retreat. No, Dad, this is your life's work. I'm going to do whatever it takes to defend it.
Screw it, Shonen powers activate! And then she holds off a giant cyborg dinosaur monster for upwards of an hour in nothing but a little dinky fighter jet, already after a super robot was destroyed by this thing.
Right in front of her.
Yes, right in front of her. Did not bother her in the slightest.
In a just show, she would have taken Musashi's place right away.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Musashi!
Here's something that kind of funny that occurred to me about Musashi.
He's an idiot?
Yes, he's an idiot. He's the comic relief fat guy. I mean, if somebody has to have a negative trait, it's him, for the most part.
Yeah.
Of all of them, he has the biggest crush on Michiru.
Oh, God. I don't think you can call that a crush.
Like, he's obsessed with how she sees him. He'll break down into tears. He'll break out down to tears about a lot of things, but she seems to be the biggest cause of his crying.
Pretty much.
And yet, we've looked at 3 shows from the 70s and 80s so far. Shows that people in the West have actually had some sort of contact with in a major way. Unlike this one. Shows that went on to more than this did.
Yeah.
And yet, of all the characters we've seen in the last few weeks,
he stands out the most.
He has the most character growth and development. He is the most distinct.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you know how last week we were talking about whatever his name was and how bumbling Amaro. He was? Like, Amaro. Just take all that bumbling and freightiness and jerking and everything else, jack it up by 1,000, and you have him. Doesn't he screw up the transformation, like, 3 times?
Oh, yeah. And this is supposed to be something where the machine is able to handle it itself.
Yeah.
Just uses human reflexes somehow.
Somehow.
Which is their hand wave for. But how can these teens who aren't trained pilots pilot this thing?
Honestly, I still don't know why they even got him.
Because shut up. Anyway, I gotta say, though, that while Michiru is the most badass member of the cast, I have a place in my heart for Musashi. Because he does grow. He does improve.
He does strive.
And he has the most, like I said, he is the most interesting individual we've met so far. Sometimes he's interesting because you wonder, why the hell are people putting up with him? Or, really, Musashi? Really? But he's better than we've gotten from the last 3 shows. No, wait, with Misfits, the last 4 shows.
Yeah.
As much as we're kind of ragging on Musashi, if he'd been on the cast of Misfits, it would have improved the show greatly.
It would have... No, it wouldn't have. They would have ruined his character.
Yeah, you're right. They would have made him like a serial rapist or something.
More than likely. I hate you. Anyways, okay. So, Musashi, he is bumbling, but he means well, I think. It's kind of hard to tell sometimes. But still, moving on from him, we come to... Might as well keep going backwards to the forwards. Hayato! Okay. I can't tell if he's supposed to be the cool guy or the creepy guy.
I think he's the cool guy, but they went too far.
Yeah, he has this weird cross that he always wears that has a picture of his dead sister.
I thought that was a picture of Michiru. Okay, this is a case of artist can only draw one woman syndrome.
Really, if it wasn't for the fact... Oh, he can draw a few different guys.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a way to articulate this character, but honestly... He's just the cool guy. He doesn't put up with your norms, man. He's on his own. He's the anti-hero. He's the cool under pressure fella.
The weird thing about him is that he talks like... As soon as he gets in his weird outfit and is piloting the robot, he becomes more normal.
Yeah.
Like, he talks with people. He answers questions that are posed of him. He gives suggestions that need to be made.
Yeah. But the minute he's out of that robot, he's insulting everyone, belittling anything, and just making fun of absolutely everything he can.
Yeah, he's like the guy from The Catcher in the Rye, only jacked up a whole bunch. That's right, I just made a literary reference.
I'm proud of you. Good for you. What am I supposed to make of that, Bobcat? What am I supposed to make of that?
Usually you just belittle me or... Wait, are you Hayato? Although, no, wait, no. Hayato wouldn't have failed to belittle me for that. Anyway,
Why the hell would I wear a cross necklace and do judo flips?
I don't know. I think what sums up Hayato best is the fact that if he gets into a conversation with you, and he doesn't feel like continuing it anymore, he just whips out his harmonica and starts playing.
Yeah, he just ignores you. You're done. He's done. No more.
Yep. It is like a 6-year-old trying to write a cool character.
Yeah. Well...
Or an adult trying to write a creepy character.
Yeah. This show... Well, I'll get into that later. Now we come to the main character, I think. Honestly, I think the main character may be Musashi.
Yeah, at least so far. Ryo is your leader type. He's also the least exaggerated as far as his character archetype goes.
He's a shonen protagonist, but without anything that really sets him apart from anything. Except for fear of heights.
Right. Which, the way he conquers it is, he blindfolds himself and repeatedly bungee jumps off a bridge.
Yeah. But to be fair, that's how Musashi originally tried to combat his fear of lizards.
The way Musashi tried to combat his fear of lizards was, okay, he's the head of the judo club. I think that's the flimsy justification for using him as the pilot for number 3, because it's a good judo machine. He goes to his club and he says, okay guys, I gotta conquer my fear of dinosaurs. So the way I'm gonna conquer my fear of dinosaurs is if everyone attacks me at once. But you're the leader, and we're just a bunch of rookies. Hey, is there any way for the elite members of my club to talk? Attack me! Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and he carries around a katana for some reason. Not Ryu, Musashi. He's really the most interesting character.
Yes. Even if sometimes the interest is from scratching your head.
Yeah.
Ryo has nothing really to set him apart from the leader from Golion, aside from the fact that the leader from Golion had a little less personality.
Yeah, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, this thing's kind of an indictment of Golion, because we assumed that all of the shows we saw earlier than this would have had a main character group just as undeveloped as Golion, but I guess not.
Oh, hero guy kind of is. But... Okay, let's go... Really, the only other main character to talk about is...
The professor, I guess.
Professor? And he's just kind of... He's the professor. He does professor things. He makes the robots.
He is obsessed with going into space.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's about it. We have the villains, but quite honestly, they're smart. They're smart. They know to send more than one monster at a time. They know to protect themselves against the Getter Robo beams. They know all that other stuff. But
they don't even have to, like, they just have to say, "We've detected high levels of Getter radiation. Okay, modify our dinosaurs to be immune to the Getter rays."
And I'll get to that more in presentation. But beyond that, they don't really have a character. They're just generic evil villain dudes
who happen to be dinosaurs.
Yeah, more so than Golion's villains. I think all of the interesting characterness went straight to Musashi and the girl.
Which is kind of, I guess, a refreshing change from the last couple of weeks where we've had to say that the most interesting characters were the villains.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's it for characters. Let's move on.
There are a couple, but nobody worth mentioning.
No, not really. Let's see here. Point number 4, presentation. One thing I'm going to get out of the way right now, the subtitles. Because this is the only way you can find the thing on VO with what we assume are fan subs. I hope they're fan subs.
Yeah, there's no DVD release of this in the US that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And I looked.
Or at least none that are still in print. The key thing I was going to bring up before, and something that kind of shows that I don't know if these people really knew what they were doing, Musashi kept calling the girl the Mona Lisa of the... Right, it was Mona Lisa, right?
Not it was Madonna. Mona Lisa, yeah.
Yeah. The Mona Lisa of the school. He kept referring to her as that specifically, and I know what he actually meant. He meant to call her the idol, or the star, or...
Well, actually, I was listening closely to those bits, and he was saying Mona Lisa. I heard Mona Lisa in there.
I think you were hearing things. You had to have been. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe he means a woman with an enigmatic smile?
No! That wouldn't make any sense, and he wouldn't think of it. I was going to make a joke about a manly woman, but that just gets into Mona Lisa jokes that, frankly, no one really cares about. Still!
Gosh, that's two references we made to actual culture this time.
I know, we're going to have to give ourselves 40 lashes. That or watch Roots. I'm not sure which. Anyways, good movies aside. Okay, I'm kidding. The animation on this is honestly, well, depends. Is it a normal scene? Then it's going to be 1970s animation if you're lucky. Still shots with music if you're not. There are a fair amount of still shots in this show.
Yeah, and a lot of reused animation.
Yeah, especially in the first episode. I think they just, when they were destroying the first Getter Robo pilot thing, I swear to God, there was just a minute solid of unblinking, unmoving reaction shots from everyone.
Just, yeah, that sounds about right.
Just still, everyone. No noise, outside the music anyways, just, yeah, but, the fight scenes, especially the first fight scene, especially it, are legitimately very well done.
There's a lot of energy and brutality in those fights.
Yes, these are honestly really good fight scenes. These are probably the best fight scenes we've seen in an anime from the 1970s or 1980s yet.
So this one wins our seal of approval for Mecha Month's fight scenes.
Pretty much, so far anyways. Who knows what next we'll bring, but we'll get to that in a moment. the animation really does kick up a notch with the fight scenes, and it does get really, really good. Though I will note, the Getter Robo's big finisher blast, Getter Robo Beam, a pink energy laser from its belly, is really, 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 really useless. Like, entirely worthless. It has no purpose, it does nothing. Until the third episode.
Well, they did make a big plot point out of, we're making our dinosaurs be immune to the Getter Beams.
Yeah, what you think would be the big finishing attack isn't. Instead, it's pretty much the Getter Tomahawk!
Or the drills.
Or the drills.
Or the judo tosses and missiles.
No, it's not the judo tosses. It's the firing missiles down the throat so they blow the creature up from the inside.
Which is pretty badass.
Yes. Yes, it is. But that's straying into topic number 5. The animation honestly impressed me, especially for when it was made specifically at the fight scenes. The character designs, not so much, but...
Well, and there were a lot of derps. Like, there was some reused animation that had a lot of mistakes in it.
Yeah.
But what I'll say is that...
It's fun. I never
had any moments like the third episode of Go Lion, where the character just appeared to be floating when he was obviously supposed to be jumping around in an acrobatic way.
Yeah, the only time that even kind of happens is early in episode 1, when Musashi tries to judo flip Hayato, and Hayato just kind of flies away and lands safely. But honestly, you can understand why that happened.
Yep, the show didn't have a lot of budget, but they knew where to put it, and they were good at stretching it out where they didn't need to put money into it.
Yeah, and honestly, that's about the best you can hope for with one of these shows, and it really does deliver in this in that regard. Now, for the voice acting, the monster sound effects, honestly, I swear I've heard before. I swear to God I've heard all these sound effects before.
Didn't surprise me.
But... the villain's voice isn't bad. The hero's voices vary a little bit. Musashi, again, has the most interesting voice, though not exactly for good reasons.
Yeah, his voice actor has obviously figured out the character, and it's kind of whiny.
I think that's my biggest problem with him, is how whiny he sounds. Guys, please, I'm afraid of dinosaurs.
Now, I think that unless Burke can think of anything else, the last thing we need to cover here is the music.
And I'll let Bobcat handle that. I just wanted to interrupt him.
Okay. So, the music is actually what made me notice the series, because I'd heard the theme song around. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I'm going to put a link to a YouTube copy of the theme song, just so people understand. This is something that gets you fired up. Like, it is... possibly my favorite all-time anime theme song. For a lot of people, that's the theme from Evangelion, but... and you know what? That's a good theme song, but for my money, it's the Getter Robo theme song, because it has the trumpets and the timpani, and it has that 1970s disco style that really giant robot shows need.
It's a good theme song. I'll honestly admit I like this theme song. It is really well done. The lyrics are a lot of fun. It's just a great little theme song.
And note, Burke doesn't usually like music much.
Howdy!
Which, so he's saying the theme song is good.
Yes. Which, I guess, brings us to point number 5. Do you want to do the honors of the segue?
Sure. Change Getter! Stupid phone.
Phone call!
Now that we're in the Getter Robo phone call form, let's give this episode a dial. Okay, I can't think of anything good.
This
is possibly one of my favorite anime we've reviewed so far. And it seems like it shouldn't be, because the characters are fairly shallow. I mean, we talked about the characters being sort of dynamic, but that's by a low standard.
We haven't seen anything modern or good in the last month.
But at the same time, I can legitimately say I love this show. It is like it was custom written for my inner child, because it has dinosaurs and has robots and has a funny fat guy and it has a girl who can fight, even though she has a machine where she really shouldn't be able to. Really, the only real complaint I have about this show is that the villains are kind of shallow, but they have another 30 episodes to maybe give them some personality.
Maybe if they want to.
Yeah. But what they have is actually surprisingly good for the era. For the era, this is Shakespeare.
We'll see about that. Would you recommend it?
Oh, yes. The only trouble being that it might be hard to track down. Like, VO only had the first three episodes. I haven't really gone looking for subs on YouTube, but I did see a couple. You might have to go the pirate way to get this.
If you have to and you're interested, I could probably point you in the right direction.
The comments of Burp do not necessarily reflect those of the Five Wing Podcast. Please don't sue us. That out of the way, like I said, I really like this show. I recommend it to people at least watch it. I mean, the last couple we've said, watch it because it was historically significant, or if you watched Voltron, give this a shot just to see how much they changed. This one I just suggest on its own merits. It's insane, crazy merits. What it reminds me of, most of it, that's been produced in recent years, is the webcomic Axe Cop. This does strike me as a lot of, very close to what you'd have Malachi over there, age 6, well, age 7 now, write if you told him to write a giant robot show. Because it has all the things he loves, like robots, dinosaurs, a guy who's really cool.
Are you done?
Yes. I give it 2 thumbs up.
My final thoughts. Honestly, this is a pretty good show. You're not going to watch this for the plot. You're not. This does not have a plot. This has an excuse with characters driving it forward to the next fight scenes. Or action scenes, or what have you.
Or comedy relief scenes.
Often in the action scenes. But honestly, this is a really good show. It doesn't appeal to me as strongly, but I know that if I had seen this when I was younger, I would have loved this show. This would have been one of my all-time favorites. As it is now, honestly, I know I've brought the show up a few times already, especially during this month, but Super Robot Red Baron kinda overshadows it for me. More than kind of. I freaking love Super Robot Red Baron. One day we will review it. One day. But this show, honestly, it's really good. You should check it out if you get a chance. Again, if you need help, I could maybe send you on the right way. I don't know if I could or not. I'd have to look. But it's a really, 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 really well put together show. The animation is hindered and all that other stuff. But if, as long as you know, it is a 70s show. It is flawed.
Meant to sell toys to kids.
Yeah, it's definitely meant to do that. Don't expect a whole lot from it. And you're going to get a lot more out of it. I'd recommend it. I don't have any thumbs to give it because I ate them trying to keep myself from setting Bobcat on fire till the end of the review. Speaking of which, I can't actually do that Bobcat, so instead I'm just going to shoot you with a shotgun.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of predictable by this point?
Zombie Bobcat, who's like to announce next week's review, is...
Asura crying.
It has ghosts, apparently.